We Talk Podcast presents.
What it is? What it do? Welcome to One Fall with your host, Joshua William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Wow, it was an exciting week, man. It was an exciting week.
It definitely was social media buzzworthy.
Very much so. Very, very much so. I don't even know where we start, man. Where do we start?
I know where we start. I think we start where guys really try to take each other's heads off.
Which is in the UFC, UFC 196. Now, the beautiful thing about the UFC, Joel, is that, you know, the WWE, they always say anything can happen in the WWE, or as Vince McMahon likes to say, anything can happen in the WWE.
Vince is very slurred. Is he been drinking?
He has.
He has. Dana has been drinking.
I also burped a little bit before I said it, so it didn't come out the best way. Yeah, so UFC 196. Now, we came into this, and we knew the matches and everything, but, Joel, we talked about this Holly Holm and this Miesha Tate thing, and I don't want to say we were right, because I don't run Miesha Tate's life. I mean, Holly Holm's life. But maybe she should have listened to old Josh and Joel on this one.
I can just picture this, where Dana White is crying after Miesha Tate surprisingly upsets Holly Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, the next fight will be, there's no way and he loses pretty much the same way.
Yep.
Dana White has got to just be miserable. Like, he had to walk into office, and it had to be like parting of the Red Sea, because the employees were like, nope, not going near him. He's not happy right now.
So from what I've heard the last little recently, talking to some people in the know, that Dana was a little upset, but not pissed off about things. But he's more mad at Holly, because at the same time, well, he will not admit this on the record, he told Holly to maybe hold off until she wants to fight Ronda. And all respect to Holly, she wanted to be a fighting champion. And she wanted to take the fight to Miesha Tate. We didn't get to do the podcast, but Joel, you can confirm. I text you and told you I picked Miesha Tate to win.
Yeah, you'd pick Tate to win. I can vouch for you. So
yeah, because all the stars just aligned too easily for it.
This was that thing where you're like, oh, I don't know if this might be a bad idea. This might be a good idea. Well, you know, let's just do it. And it wasn't for Holly Holm. It was not a good idea, because this really puts her at a point where you look at it where she had a rocket on her back. She was going to get, in wrestling terms, she was going to get a major push. She's going to be featured heavily. She was the new queen of UFC. Yeah. So she was going to be off in the sky, money. She was going to basically be able to Scrooge McDuck and swim in money.
Yep.
And she was going to make a ton of money off that rematch against Ronda, regardless whether she won or lost.
Yep.
And now all that money has lifted up, left Holly Holm's table, and sat itself right at Miesha Tate's. Because even though Ronda has beaten her twice, money is still on the table for the next Ronda fight, regardless. So you missed out the chance. Like, I go back to an old quote from Breaking Bad, that Rian Johnson, when he got to direct Ozymandias, that big episode, everything happened in the show. One of the quotes he had said was, because there were a lot of directors trying to kind of bribe him and try to, can I direct it instead? Can you let me direct this episode? Because everyone wanted in on this, especially when Breaking Bad was at its pinnacle. And he was like, sorry guys, I get to fuck the prom queen. So, and it's the same thing now. You get to have a fight with Ronda. That's a lot of money. That's where you want to be. Holly Holmes is no longer there. I do think there might be some money in a Holly Holmes-Ronda rematch.
I do, but I mean, Dana White, you heard the quote that he said. more or less that Holly Holm fucked herself.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. I know you were a little late watching the fight. Here's the crazy thing about both fights. I think the crazy thing in UFC is as soon as someone loses the fight, they're the worst piece of garbage fighter. Their career's over, right? And that's the case right now for some people, for Conor McGregor and for Holly Holm. We'll definitely get to Conor. But Holly, to me, was probably going to win the fight if it went to decision.
I'd heard something about a draw, but there's never anything concrete.
Yeah, well, to me, just the way I was looking at it and scoring it, it looked that maybe Holly had an edge, but I could be wrong. I'm not a number one UFC judge. I'm just getting really back into the sport. But it seemed like Misha kind of knew what this was, and she just took that last gasp situation to tap her out. So I don't think Holly was totally out of it, but I think just the styles were so different too, right? And I just think they kind of conflicted with one another, and that's how Misha was able to get the takedown. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people were looking at this like, well, there should be three great fights. You should be able to do the Holly Holm and Ronda fight like a number one contenders match, and the winner faces Misha Tate. I just don't think that works with someone that's as box office as Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. If we're going to go back to wrestling, like the world of pro wrestling, because the worlds bleed together at times.
Yes.
Ronda's still owed a rematch for her title.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. So, I'm sorry. I would do it like this. I would have Tate versus Rousey, and then the winner of that fight go on to face Holm, because she's owed a title rematch now. Because
here's my next question for you, though. So UFC 200 is going to need a big woman's match on it. Ronda's not fighting at UFC 200. Right? She's not fighting unless something breaks tomorrow and I look like a complete moron. But as far as we know, from the film schedule she has, it's not happening. So if you're Dana, do you just say, let's just do the rematch? And then if Holly wins it back, does that taint things a little bit?
I don't know. That's the one thing now, that they can't announce anything yet. They first gotta let the pot simmer.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
well, you got to do it soon, though. It's in July, Joel. You got to get into your camps pretty soon here.
Yeah, I honestly would hold off 200. I'm sorry, but there's a certain point where, yeah, you might be able to pull it off, but there's no money in a Tate Holmes rematch, because then Holmes will win, and then this whole thing was just a big waste of time. And then that.
But what if Holly Holm wins the rematch, though?
You could take that gamble, but it's a 50-50 chance.
Because here's the thing, too. I think Holly Holm versus Ronda is box office no matter what, because she's the Buster Douglas. She's the one that knocked down the 2016 Tyson, you know? And people want to see if that was just a fluke. Was it really that Ronda was just so composed with being glitz and glam and being in Hollywood? Or did Holly Holm really be the better fighter that night? That's what people still need to know. I still think there's something in that fight.
I think there is, but I think that from a purely competitive, wanting to be the best, that title is still most important.
Yes, for sure. And I think it's, that's as far as Ronda's brand too, right?
Yeah. So I think that's where Ronda goes next. You have to think she wants to, in a way, have her, protect her brand, build it back up a little bit. And what better way than she's already done it twice, and I guarantee you we're going to see a Ronda that we've seen before, a very scary Ronda Rousey that will take your head off.
The thing is, though, does Misha Tate want to wait all the way till possibly the winter, which is what Meltzer has reported, that Ronda may not fight until the end of the year? If you're Misha Tate, you can't take that long off to fight. I mean, that's what we said Holly Holm should have done. And again, it comes to this thing is, if you're Misha Tate, do you hold off this long to fight to wait for Ronda? And I don't know if you do.
Here's the thing, though, and this is one thing you have to keep in mind as well, is which is going to make more money for Misha Tate, fighting Holly Holmes or fighting Ronda Rousey?
I think it's at UFC 200 with what the box office is going to be from that. It's still going to be pretty good money.
I just don't – I think there's more money in – and I think Misha Tate will take – because Misha Tate and Ronda Rousey don't like each other at all. So if Misha Tate has to wait a little longer and go against Ronda, I think she takes it.
But the rest of the year,
it means she gets some time to heal up. Because you got to think, it's still strenuous to come in.
Of course, I'm just wondering if like
I don't like these rushes that okay, we got to get to the next fight. It's not like pro wrestling where they can go four nights in a week.
I just would be shocked if there's nothing with either one of them at you without either, especially with the belt not being up for grad at 200.
Sometimes, and here's the other thing, and this is something that we've talked about for wrestling again, is you have to book your card smart. Mm-hmm. You can't overpack it, because then you're lessening the focus on certain things that should get focused.
The 200 is the WrestleMania though, right?
200 is the WrestleMania, but here's the other thing. You have to think about your SummerSlams. You have to think about your pay-per-views later that might suffer a little bit that could use a Ronda Rousey boost.
Here's the thing, though, from what I've heard about...
200 would be fine regardless.
Yeah, totally. But what I've heard is Dana doesn't care about the other ones, Joel. There is no SummerSlam for them. There is no Survivor Series. There's no Money in the Bank. There's no Royal Rumble. This is the World Cup. This is the Super Bowl for them. This is the championship night. This is the night for UFC. It's all systems go.
So then you just need to tell your fighters that it's Ronda Tate. Simple as that. Because
the thing is that Ronda won't fight then, though. She's not fighting in July. She's not fighting till the movie schedules are done.
Then she's not in line for the title shot, and she has to work her way back up.
That's what I'm saying. So just do Holly and Tate the rematch then.
I don't see as much money in that still.
I do a little bit because it was a good fight, and... Well, some could say that Tate won just in that last gasp situation. I will agree with you. Like, I'm not too interested in a rematch. I'm interested in whoever faces Ronda, period, which I think is the point you're trying to make.
Yeah, Ronda is the central. And I would much rather not have yet another fight and have it kind of... Because here's the thing that... something like with Brock Lesnar. When Brock... when he beat Undertaker and he beat John Cena and he appeared sporadically. You want to do that sometimes with these fights because then people get excited. It's not right. Like every 3 months we can have there was a point where every 3-4 months, oh, another GSP fight. Oh, mm-hmm. Now it's kind of like, okay, when's the next GSP fight? When's the next women's fight?
It's funny you speak about that. We'll get to that in a second.
I definitely think they need to be smart about this and go, it'd be better to hold it off than to just throw something onto 200 for the sake of it.
I agree with you. I mean, you look at the 200 card, I think John Pollock from the Fight Network brought this up too. It's like, yeah, you want UFC 200 to be special. There's no doubt about it. And you want to load that card up, and you should. You should have the best matches on that, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, like you said, Dana can say that this is our Super Bowl. There's no other big show after that. Like, every show is still a great show. They don't have the SummerSlam and stuff. Still, you have other cards you need to sell. And you can't put your Jon Jones and your Conor McGregors and your top women fighters and other fighters we're going to get to all on the same card just to be like, look at us. This is UFC 200. It's awesome because... Then also you're going to throw off fighting schedules as well.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. That's the biggest thing is McGregor's. I can't imagine McGregor's. Well,
but I think McGregor will fight at 200. Yeah. I just think as we slightly move, we'll come back to the women maybe in a bit. But so he lost to Nate Diaz. Here's the thing though, he was winning the fight. He went up weight classes, and if you don't think that GSP was there to set up a fight, then you are delusional because it's all but pretty much been confirmed that was the idea.
Yeah. The one thing I want to say first is I tip my hat to McGregor. He went up 2 weight classes.
Yeah.
He was smaller. He didn't have the reach advantage that he typically does. And he didn't do bad for himself.
He got caught.
Yep. And all the world, I'll tip the hat to Nate Diaz as well. The guy won. He's made himself a star, and he put brilliant jiu-jitsu on the map. It's already on the map, but it just showed that because he was teaching kids that, I believe. He was doing a few things like that. It just shows that when you're a smart fighter and you know what you're doing and you've been trained properly, you can get out of any situation.
It also showed to me that going up weight classes, it shows why these guys are at the certain divisions. Because those punches, if Conor lands those on people in his division, they're getting knocked out. But he goes up a class, guys get stronger chins, and it's exactly what happened with Nate.
Yeah. And, I mean, you look at it, and you look at just the first round flurry that McGregor threw out. He was a little... He's not used to hitting something, and it just kind of, oh, that's cute. Here's a punch for you.
Yeah. He pretty much let Conor wear himself out, and then he hit him with the submission.
Yeah, and that was the end. He tapped out. And I think you look at it, you got two things out of this fight. And I can when you say that Dana wasn't too upset, you obviously have a big name in Nate Diaz now. And let's be honest, his mic skill, it's interesting. He's a perfect villain.
He is. Absolutely. You know what? I think, would you agree with me on this? I don't think Conor, much as some people may think, he's hurt. I don't think Conor's totally hurt. Because he went up a weight class. It's not his weight class. He didn't lose his title. With the women, it's complete anarchy, and they're waiting on their Conor McGregor. We don't know what's going to happen. That's the thing that's so crazy about the women division. With Conor, we're still like, who's he going to face? Is he going to stay up weight classes? Is he going to face GSP? We'll get to the GSP stuff in a second, because that's a whole freaking circus in itself. So where does Conor go in your mind from this point?
Conor goes back to his weight class, which he needs to, because he can't leave that weight class just sitting there going, well, we're fighting each other, but none of us have earned a we feel like some of us have earned a title shot, so let's...
Do you do a rematch with Frankie Edgar then?
I mean, he knocked Edgar him out and Aldo were throwing, throwing shots at him.
Yeah, I think it was actually Aldo that he knocked out in 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Do you do the rematch of that, or no. Is there really a point of it?
No, there's no point. And that's the other thing you got to think about. This isn't like Brett and Sean 1, Brett and Sean 2, Brett and Sean 3, Brett and Sean 4, where you can get decent matches each and every time. McGregor pretty much buried Aldo.
Uh-huh.
So now you kind of got to move on to the next guy. And I think there's still a lot of young, fresh guys in there. Like, did you know Holly Holm's name to start the year off?
Yes, I did it actually, but not last year.
Yeah, last year.
So, I mean, a smartass, I'm sorry.
So, you didn't know Holly Holm's name last year. There could be someone in that 145 division. Is it 145?
I've heard, like, a Tyron Woodley been thrown around. I think for GSP, actually, maybe. And that's another guy, too. So, what do you do with GSP? Here, do you have him face Robbie Lawler for the title now? Do you have the super fight for Silva? I think the Michael Bisping loss hurt Silva quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I don't like... If they announce Silva versus GSP at 200, I think we both would still be excited. But it's kind of that Pacquiao-Mayweather, if this was 5 years ago, it'd be better feeling.
Yeah. And you definitely don't want that. Robbie Lawler's an option, but I feel like GSP has had so much time away. I always believe you have to earn it. You can't just be handed something.
He definitely never lost his title, though.
Yeah, and that's true, too. So that's something else to keep in mind.
Although I do think he lost that fight to Johnny Hendricks, this last fight.
Yeah, but Johnny Hendricks is, what, a scrub now?
Oh, he's just falling apart.
Yeah. So Robbie Lawler could be a good one. I think Nate Diaz has made a case for himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that fight between McGregor and Diaz was for that GSP spot, then... And I think Diaz could very well carry a program with GSP, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be hated, and GSP would be loved. And it would be good. It'd be good television. It would be good press conferences. It would be everything you want. Does GSP still have it? And Nate Diaz got a huge rub from beating McGregor. Make no mistake about it. So,
well, and GSP is, you look at Silva and everything that's happened to Anderson Silva. Like, did you ever really think you'd ever see Anderson Silva fall this bad at his peak? Because he seemed almost more undefeatable than GSP did, right?
Yeah. It's moving up that weight class.
Yeah, oh, and he's just like, get destroyed by Michael Bisping and just...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're talking about McGregor.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Anderson Silva right now as well. Just remember how dominant Anderson Silva was?
Oh, yeah, but he got cocky. And that was one thing where he was able to chuck and jive and move, and he was quick, like he was water in the octagon. He just and be like, where the hell did you go? He's very good. He was one of those guys that you were like, he was that Ronda Rousey, that GSP, that McGregor, even to an extent, where you're like, they're never gonna lose. They're just gonna carry off into the sun. And when he did finally lose, it was like, oh, okay, he got caught. But now that he's lost, he's lost his luster.
Yeah, I also think too, you see this in every other sport. You know, you're seeing it in the NBA right now with guys like Oscar Robertson talking about Steph Curry and saying they don't like their way of play and stuff like that. It's the evolution of the athlete. We're talking about it more than we've ever talked about it, right? Yeah. And I think that's what's happening in UFC and mixed martial arts now. A lot of people are saying like, oh, I could do that, and the athletes keep on getting better and better. I think, like, no disrespect, but I don't think a Randy Couture or a Chuck Liddell could really stand in the ring with some of these athletes now.
And that's the other thing, that it's like pro wrestling. It's like every other sport out there. Like you said, it's that evolution.
And like, the guys from the 80s, let's just say, I'm not going to go all the way back to Gorgeous George times, but guys from the 80s, who do you think could really hang around now with those guys? Like Steamboat, Savage.
Yeah, Steamboat and Savage would thrive.
Dynamite, Bulldog, Brett, Sean, Jannetty.
Yeah, Razor, I think, would.
Yeah, Perfect.
Perfect.
But now, could it Hogan?
I think Hogan could have, because Hogan just had this intangible thing.
But as far as his in-ring, though, if Hogan is a character right now with his in-ring, does it work?
He probably gets eaten alive, but we've heard reports of him working better matches in, like, Japan.
This is true.
So, but it's a really good point to bring up, and it's one of those things back to UFC where you go, okay, what would the Anderson Silva of the 2008-2009 be like in 2016?
Can you just imagine if we would have got, if you could do a time machine, have 2008 Anderson Silva, 2008 GSP, that'd be great. But I, coming back to the original question of it, if they do announce GSP and Anderson Silva for 200, you're still going to be excited.
Oh, yeah. It's still that thing. Like you said, it is like the Mayweather-Pacquiao. It's still that thing where you hear it and you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to watch it, because
it's a dream match.
It is. But you're going to be sitting there, you're always going to, there'll be that thing in the back of your head where was this 5 years ago?
Well, I mean, there's two dream MMA matches, period, we've always wanted, right? One is never happening, which is Fedor versus Brock.
Yeah.
Never happening. It was close. A few times it was close. It's never happened. The other one was GSP versus Silva. I may get that one.
I think they need to do it. Because here's the thing. We don't know if GSP's over the hill.
We don't. He's been around for, what, 2 years now?
Yeah. I think it's been longer than that. 2-3 years?
Yeah, I think it was like 2013 in November, that Johnny Hendricks fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been about 3 years. Does he still have it? That's going to be a big question moving forward. And, you know, in that land of does he still have it, could he still step into the octagon and be a dominant force?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. No. But at least with him fighting Silva at a catch weight, you kind of have that, well, if he doesn't have it, then we'll kind of see it in this fight, and then we can move forward, figuring out what we do next. But if it looks like he's the GSP of old,
yeah,
and boy, oh boy, we're going to be making a lot of money again.
And GSP's very calculated with his business moves. He didn't show up for no reason.
Oh, yeah. He's a smart man. He does not just kind of, he does not go anywhere and just go, well, I'm going to show up and sit here.
It would have been pretty nice to have Conor have won and have GSP step in the ring instead of the mega fight. I mean, I think I was rooting for Conor just in that match. I was going to root for Conor, period, just because I'm a Conor McGregor fan. But part of me is like, I just want Conor to win because I want to see what happens with the GSP thing. And I knew if it didn't happen, then there was no GSP that was going to happen. So now we're kind of left hanging.
Yeah, we're definitely kind of left. And that's one thing that I guess is good about the result in a way, is now you've created some interest. You've garnered some, okay, why was GSP there? What was the plan? What's going on? And it gets people talking. Because let's be real, for the last little bit, UFC has not been shined in the most positive light in the world.
No, I mean, and the next fight is one of those guys, right?
Yeah.
John Jones and Carmier, I believe.
I believe so.
Yeah. Who you're a big fan of.
John Jones needs to be stripped of the... But I'm not even going to go into it. I'm going to
Let's go.
I just can't get behind John Jones. It's simple. He is a horrible role model for kids. He hasn't gotten his life together. If he had gone out of his way to clean his life up and go, guys, I got a problem. I need some time to fix it. Mm-hmm. Strip me of the title. I don't deserve it. I've got to take some time for me and become better. And then I can come back and be a better fighter for you and make money for you. And I can be better for my family. No. I'm just going to hit people with cars. I'm just going to have a DUI. I'm just going to be this rock star. I'm John Jones. I can do whatever I want.
And that's my point as we finish this off. It's the one thing about UFC that's got to be very difficult if you're Dana White. It's the same thing for boxing promoters with Mike Tyson, right? It's yep. How long can I know this guy will be my top draw? For boxing, they've been so lucky to have Mayweather never lose. And he sits at 49-0. The drawing point, I think eventually, I think you and I have talked about this. Eventually, Mayweather's coming out of retirement to get that 50.
Oh, yeah. There's no... He's Money Mayweather. He's going to want more money. It's pretty simple logic.
But it's hard because Dana had this long point where he had his stars in Silva, GSP, Brock Lesnar, and none of them were really losing, right? They were just plowing through and they were staying on top. Then Brock started to take a little of a slide. Things still stayed with GSP and Silva being the top draws. And then Silva had his loss to Weidman, then he broke his leg the next fight. GSP disappeared. All right, Ronda Rousey's came out, then Ronda loses, she goes out. All right, well, we have Conor McGregor, now he's out. Maybe we'll start to build Holly Holm, she's out. So it's a little hard to just know who the guy is right now or the girl.
You will never have, like, a Hogan, Austin, Michaels run at the top.
They had GSP's probably the longest they've had it for.
GSP would probably be the longest, but you're never going to have that guy night in and night out because... It seems that when losses happen in UFC, it hurts a whole lot more than it does in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Probably because it's legit, and a loss is... And especially when you lose in such a way.
Well, Conor tapping out. Like, what do you think would have been worse for Conor? Being knocked out or tapped out?
It's hard, because being knocked out is saying that you got caught, and you have a glass jaw now, basically.
Submit is that you gave up, though.
Yeah, and it's you're in a no-win situation. But the benefit for McGregor, and it I guess at least the benefit for Holmes.
Holly Holm passed out, by the way. She did not tap out. She passed out.
Yeah, so that's something you gotta, it's Brett and Austin. Mm-hmm. The benefit with McGregor is he goes back to his weight class where he fits in a little bit more. He's the proper size. He's got the reach. I mean, he's knocked a guy out in less than 10 seconds, so...
By the way, I have heard that Nate may be facing the Dos Anjos.
Yeah.
Who Conor was supposed to face before the injury.
That makes sense. That, you know, logically, one moves one way and then McGregor moves back to his weight class. Don't be surprised if McGregor's back at 170 at one point.
You got to think Conor's at 200.
Yeah, he's at one. He's 175. He's going to drop down. But I think the one thing that came from all of this is I think if McGregor had won, I think these brutal weight cuts that these guys have.
Yeah,
to
man,
do,
these got to stop. Look at Data 5000. Like, that was crazy. This guy almost died.
But that's Bellator, so that's...
I know it's Bellator, but these weight ups and downs, these are crazy.
it's not good for your body. And I mean, I'd much rather have a guy fight a little more comfortable at his weight than cut. Like, for McGregor, I don't see it being too much of a problem. I can see him, but that's when you need to give them that extra 2 months to cut and just be able to do it progressively, as opposed to, okay, we got to do it right away, let's cut. Because it's not healthy.
No, it's not. Get in UFC, I think.
Yeah,
it was an exciting week, and you know, a few more exciting fights going on. Latest on CM Punk, Joel, anything?
Nothing.
Nothing. Still injured and still have no idea. Cool. What happens first? Finn Balor debuts in WWE TV, or we know when CM Punk fights?
Finn Balor, because I think we have the date a little bit more ironed out.
Mm. No, well, UFC had a crazy week and they had a whole bunch of upsets. WWE doesn't know what the hell they're doing and what program they're going towards at times, but other times they do. I don't know. You watch the programming this week, it's like so much positives, so many negatives. I don't know which way to go.
We will certainly find out.
I guess, you know, we start with the one positive, which is Sami Zayn's on WWE TV.
Yeah, that you know, he got a good reaction. It was a good crowd to have him debut. I love that, you know, he's in the program. Everyone wanted him to be in.
But not a one-on-one match in WrestleMania, though.
That, you know what? Sami Zayn's on the main roster. I'll take it. And he's going to have a spot with KO. So I'm not worried about it at all. I'm happy for Sammy. You know, I will say this: as much as you say KO and Sammy are destined to do this forever, he's sure connected to Neville.
He is.
Because I mean, they worked the program in NXT, and his debut, his re-debut. Who else is in the ring?
Neville.
So, you know, look at it as these three men are connected, and that was a really good match between him and KO.
It was. I gotta say, though, Sammy Pop wasn't as good as it could be.
You know,
It was fine, it just wasn't, like, absolutely bonkers.
I don't think I expected a bonkers Sammy
in Chicago, though.
Even with the Chicago crowd, I think there's only one guy from NXT that gets, well, maybe two guys that gets a bonkers reaction.
Joe, Finn.
Joe and Finn.
Yeah.
So I think those two would absolutely, the place would have gone insane.
Plus, Sammy's kind of, it's not like his debut, he's been the Royal Rumble, he's kind of been there, right?
Yeah, so it's not brand spanking new, it's not nice and shiny. It's lost a little bit of the debut luster. Mm-hmm. But I think that Sammy's an excellent performer, and the 2 out of 3 falls match that he had with Samoa Joe was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
And I'm hearing that Vince likes Sami Zayn.
Yeah, I do. He's great until he does all the flippity flops and gets hurt.
Yeah, and that's one thing where I don't think Sammy will ever be a main event guy.
Although you and I think he has the same resemblance of a certain goat man.
Yeah, so that's not a bad thing to have, especially with that void right now.
Mm-hmm.
There is a void in WWE. Who's going to fill it?
Who did you think had the biggest pop on Monday?
CM Punk?
Of good. I thought it was AJ, and I don't think it was close.
You know, I think it was AJ. And I think it just shows that when you're in a, like, AJ's established. We never thought this was would happen. Him in WWE. He's teaming with Jericho. He's taking on the New Day. I think that he's connected. All the, like you said to me earlier today, all those worries we had for now are kind of out the window with AJ Styles.
And the heel turn, the first of all, maybe the best Raw match I've seen this year, that tag match.
That was really good.
Really good match. But the heel turn was so perfect because, you know, we all saw it coming, right? We all knew it was coming, but just, it was so well done, Joel.
You know what it looked like when AJ's crawling up Jericho?
What's that?
It looks like Sean and Y2J at 19.
This is true. Yeah. Apparently, they wanted him to take the shirt and rip it in half, but Jericho said that's stupid.
Yeah, what would be?
Yeah,
so I liked what they did with the shirt.
Yeah, that was a little past PG. Choking hazard. He should be fired.
Yeah, but as long as it doesn't involve Justin Roberts in a tie, I think we should be okay.
Right, just like Undertaker's okay from last week touching Vince.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not Titus O'Neil, so.
I mean, we didn't see him this week, so Taker may be suspended.
He might be. Or he just might be enjoying semi-retirement life.
He may just be enjoying having no reason to face Shane McMahon.
You know, that was the perfect troll moment from Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Okay, and I just got to get my point out now. We talked about this a little bit earlier off record. Joel, tell me why that shouldn't be the main event at WrestleMania.
Because here's the thing. And I agree with you. Here's the reason why Shane and Taker should close the show.
Oh, I want the reason why it shouldn't.
I can't give you a reason why.
No, there's zero reason.
Because here's the thing. Do you want the final moment of WrestleMania 32, this big sold-out show that's going to set box office records and be a big deal? Do you really, really, really want it ending with some guy getting booed because he just won his third WWE World Heavyweight Championship?
Nope.
You're going to want to have it because either Shane is going to be over with the crowd and The Undertaker is going to be over with the crowd. And that might be the debut of something that's bulletproof.
Maybe.
So, or what were they called? The One Man Gang or Street Posse? What was Shane McMahon?
Oh, the Mean Street Posse?
The Mean Street Posse.
They're not coming out. I've heard of people like, the Mean Street Posse is coming out. I'm like, no, they're not. They're not coming out.
Imagine they get a big pop.
Jeez. Here's Joey Abs and Pete Gas. I don't remember the other guy. Do you remember the other guy?
No, I don't.
I know Joey Abs, Pete Gas. Maybe Google it and find out the names of the other one. Pete Gas. Can you imagine Vince in this meeting? Your name's going to be Pete Gas.
You know.
Get it? No, I don't, Vince. Neither do I. Fuck you, pal.
You know what? I think at this point, if I was any sort of wrestler, I'd be like, I got a job. I'm going to take it.
Job during the Attitude Era, too.
Oh, and that's money. It was Rodney.
It was just Rodney, too, yep. Right? Everybody else gets full names, Joey Abs and Pete Gass. But the other one is like, I'm just Rodney.
It's just like Neville. Forget Adrian.
So here's the thing. You talk to anybody that's interested in WrestleMania. No one has talked about Hunter and Roman. Everyone has talked about The Undertaker and Shane McMahon. And I really feel, Joel, the poor Hunter, I feel bad for him. This is going to be the same thing that happened to him with Hogan and Rock.
It's the same thing that happened to Hogan and Rock, and it's the same thing that happened with Shawn and Taker.
I was about to say, like, and then he had this thing that happened before that may be the greatest wrestling match of all time.
So you gotta think that Hunter's just gotta be like, just put me on second last or third last. I don't care. Just do it.
I think you said the most remarkable and standing point of it too. And again, we're not doing the Roman rant. We've done this too much. But 3-time champion. Why do I care? The guy's a 3-time champion.
And here's the other thing, and it's not quite going down that rabbit hole.
But the Roman hole.
Yeah, the Roman hole. But it kind of is. You have to protect him from arguably your best. Let's be real. The Chicago crowd's the best.
Yes.
It's one of the top five. You go into that arena. That's what Maidstone called. That crowd, that atmosphere, that arena is historic for wrestling. And you have to protect your face of your company from that building and that crowd by removing him from it, and not even having him appear on via satellite like his cousin does, his blood brother, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It just speaks volumes that you have no faith in him.
Yeah.
And you have to... Dean, everyone's forgotten about Roman, and this is something we were talking about as well. Did any part during Monday Night Raw, did you go, man... This segment could really use suffer and succotash.
Not even that. I just never. It's been 2 weeks without Roman Reigns, and I haven't missed him. Even with John Cena, at his worst, when I just despised the character, or Randy Orton, when Randy Orton was just boring and bland, and I wanted him off my TV, I still was like, huh. I would think I'm wrong, like, yeah, there's no Randy Orton in this show. There's no John Cena in this show. Yeah. I never even thought about Roman Reigns. The thought of him never processed through my brain unless they showed, oh, there was one with, like, Triple H is facing Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's happening, isn't it?
You completely forget because you're so focused now on the moment the crowd does want. And that's for Dean Ambrose.
Exactamundo.
And look at it. Dean hit Dirty Deeds. What did the crowd do?
Popped. And that's people that want to go for Hunter. I like Hunter. But I know, and this is one of the cases where I'm supposed to cheer for the good guy, and I actually will.
So Dean has that quality that Sammy had and Daniel Bryan had, and we talked about it, was that likable quality that
mm-hmm.
he's a guy that you could have a conversation with. He's a guy that you could go out for drinks. You get into some very interesting situations with him. He'd probably pick a few fights. But he would be one of those guys that you could talk to and would feel like, hey, you know, this is kind of cool. I get to talk to you. And you just seem, it's like Austin. It's just that blue-collar fellow that you can be like, hey, I like you.
Yeah.
You're just like me and my buddies.
So I was listening to the Fight Network this morning when I was working, and they have their review of Raw show, and they have their segment afterwards where they read emails, and I was listening to Meltzer's podcast after today as well, where they read emails as well, and every other single email, Joel, said one thing. What do you think about Dean Ambrose winning the title at Roadblock and having him and it becoming a fatal four-way? Or what do you think about Roman Reigns winning and this and this and this? Oh, sorry, everything was about Dean, not Roman. But it seems like more and more people have been emailing or however calling in and be like, well, what do you think about maybe if this can happen so Dean can win? And it just justifies more and more what we've been saying for the longest time is, nobody wants this Roman Reigns title reign.
No. And I think in a year's time, we're not going to see it. He's not going to be... He's going to be still a wrestler, but he's going to fade off into an obscurity. Like, if there was a WCW around, I wouldn't be surprised if he had jumped ship at a certain point. But it's getting to the point where the crowd knows who they want.
Yeah.
And like even John Cena said in that Daniel Bryan retirement video, sometimes you can't fight the biggest superstar in WWE, the universe.
Nope.
And they're fighting it tooth and nail, and I think in a year's time, they're going to be like, we give up. it's time to take this Ambrose kid. And
I don't even know if Ambrose is going to. I think Ambrose will. Will he though? Do you think Ambrose will be WWE champion? Because the line's about to get a lot bigger.
We talk about that AJ Styles pop. Uh-huh. That's got to be something to keep in mind.
You got Finn, and you got Seth coming back. You got Cesaro that's going to get one more big chance. You got Cena that's going to want 16.
You're going to have guys like, I'm trying to think here, who name escapes me. KO.
I was going to say Kevin Owens, Sammy, who we said is in that territory that can be there as well.
Much to the chagrin of Vince McMahon.
I think some people will laugh at me at this. Titus.
They're going to owe him, so don't be surprised.
I don't think he's going to be a world title, but I think he's going to come back, and he's going to get a big pop, and he's going to get a bigger run when he gets back than I think a lot of people would expect.
Yeah, because the crowd's... And that's one thing that you got to think about is, you know, you're upset about the Titus O'Neil suspension. It wasn't... I think it's an overreaction on Vince's part, but the way to get back, even with the company, is to cheer for him, to support Titus. Voice what you think. Don't sit there and just voice it on Twitter. Go to a show. Chant Titus when he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he's not, and there's a segment that you're absolutely bored with, instead of chanting CM Punk, chant for someone that is in that locker room.
So, what I was trying to say here is the time is now for Dean Ambrose, because, like I said, that line is going to get a lot longer as Seth comes back, Cesaro comes back, Finn comes in. This guy, you know, you may have heard him. His name is fucking Nakamura comes in. Like, it's not going to get any shorter for Dean Ambrose, the line.
Nope. And you got to think that AJ is going to get a run. He has mm-hmm. to get a run. He's won everywhere else.
Well, if you were going to predict the rest of the champions this year, Joel, who do you think will be the champions for the rest of 2016?
Well, the rest of 2016, Roman definitely.
Yes.
Seth.
Yes.
And here's another name we forget about that could easily suddenly inject himself in the title picture. I don't know if it's this year, but Brock Lesnar. You're paying him a lot of money.
Yeah, how'd I forget about him? So, and Cena, maybe they go for 16 this year.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon called him the Babe Ruth of WWE.
Yeah. Here's the thing I think with John and that Babe Ruth comparison. I don't necessarily disagree with it because, I mean, the original Babe Ruth of pro wrestling is currently talking about his penis size It's true. There were tweets about.
Oh my god! Let me tell you something, brother. Oh my god!
About how he had tried to tell someone that he had a 24-inch python, and he had to testify that he did not have a 24-inch python in his pants. So your old
the largest Babe Ruth, dick in the world, brother.
Your old Babe Ruth, not something you can rely on. I think John is something that you can rely on for years. You know, there's a lot of things said about John, but how many times do we hear about him doing something horrible within the community?
A lot.
All the time. He's stealing stuff from children. He's driving a pervy van around, trying to pick kids up with Nikki.
He doesn't give back at all.
No,
and that's the thing I hate about John Cena. Like, just give back a little, you know? Like, maybe help a charity or two? Like, yeah. Come on.
Don't just sit in your little mansion drinking whatever you drink and look at your fancy cars. Don't do anything
selfish,
to make a wish.
Selfish guy.
Waste of time. I can't believe they pay him the way they do. He doesn't give back. So I think that's why he's the Babe Ruth. It's just solely based on...
I don't think he's the Babe Ruth, though, man. If you're saying the Babe Ruth, you're saying he's the most important member of WWE of all time. I don't put him more important than Macho Man. I don't put him more important than Austin.
See,
The Rock. I like Cena too. Is he more important than The Rock?
I think the biggest thing with Vince, and you always hear this, and this is why he adores The Undertaker, who's another name that should be thrown in
for that's Babe. Maybe the Babe Ruth.
The biggest thing with Vince is loyalty. That's why Taker does whatever he wants. There were stories that creative calls him. They don't go to Vince, they go straight to Taker. Hey, we've got this idea. What do you think? Everything else has to go through Vince. Everything goes to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because of loyalty. And I think Cena's getting to that point where Cena hasn't threatened to abandon ship, hasn't threatened to go to Hollywood. He's been
there
day in and day out. He's come back early from injuries because he feels the need to be back.
This is true.
So I think maybe now thinking about it, maybe he's not the Babe Ruth, but to Vince,
get what Vince is doing, because you look at every single guy. Every guy at one point has backstabbed Vince from the very beginning. San Martino did it, then Hogan did it, then Randy did it, Brett did it, Lex did it, Sean to a degree did it, CM Punk did it to him. Like every single guy that has been his guy. That's, you know, you always hear those the comparisons to Joel of, I never really had a dad. Vince is like a father figure. And who are some of those guys that turned her back? Like the big ones. Austin, Brett, and Punk.
Yeah. Cena has never done it. Cena's never held him up. Cena's never taken his ball and gone home. No. Cena's never gone into podcast blasting your whole company.
No.
So, and Cena, like, that's the one Jericho podcast I'd be very interested in hearing.
Yeah, well, he did talk to him, though. Remember? It was on the network.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't very good. It's the Stephanie one was on there, too. It was kind of a waste, right?
Yeah, now I think about those. Ugh.
Yeah, they weren't great, man.
Not great, Bob.
No.
The Cena Babe Ruth, that opens up a whole new podcast for a whole other day, is who is the Babe Ruth? Because I think there is a lot to look at.
To me, it's Austin or Rock. Babe Ruth is such a weird comparison because I don't consider Babe Ruth the best baseball player of all time either, to be honest. Babe Ruth was a drunk, and he was a guy that just smoked a bunch of cigars and didn't take care of his body. And I don't know if Babe Ruth played in baseball today. I don't want to make this a sports podcast, but you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, no,
I just don't know where he would stand today. Just the icon of Babe Ruth. To me, I think the more easy comparison is the Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan. And is Cena the Michael Jordan in WWE?
No, because when you speak of like a Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, it's skill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say what you will, I think Brett might be one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time.
Yep. I watched back the Iron Man match the other day. You've been watching some WrestleManias, I've been watching some WrestleManias, and I just saw the Iron Man match the other day, and it's just like, fuck, him and Shawn together, and that was just a masterpiece.
Yep. Brett and Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went back and I watched the Stampede, what was it called? The Canadian Stampede.
Mm-hmm.
It was when they came to Calgary for the In Your House show.
Yeah.
It was the Hart Foundation versus Austin, Goldust, Legion of Dune, and Kim Shamrock.
Okay, who's replaced by Tank Abbott in that weird circus, what thing they're doing.
Yeah, I just saw that recently. I'm like, have fun. But you saw that match, and you saw how hyped the crowd got when Brett started beating on Austin, and the Calgary crowd was just eating out of the palm of their hands. And just Brett and Austin, WrestleMania 13, the bloodbath. That's probably one of the top five greatest WrestleMania matches of all time.
Oh, yeah.
You just look at, and we got quickly off track, but you look at when you, Cena, I think we should compare more to, like, He's in the top five most important figures.
He's Larry Bird. He's put up great stats, and you can consider him one of the best. But he's not better than Jordan.
No. He's not better than Shawn. He's not better than Flair.
No.
But
WWE, though, yes, for Flair.
Yeah.
But no, for Shawn.
My question to you is...
The Jordan is Stone Cold.
Yeah.
I think it should... If you're going to go by overall wrestling technique, but then you're going to also go by personality inside and outside the ring, then it's hard to disagree that it's John. Or is it Rock?
And the Rock's been doing a lot of things for the community constantly.
Because I think, too, like, you say Babe Ruth or you say Michael Jordan, you think baseball, right?
Yeah.
So when I say hockey, you're going to say, oh, Wayne Gretzky. When I say football, you're probably going to think, like, Tom Brady, Jerry Rice, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, one of those guys, right?
Yeah.
But when I say soccer, you're going to think of what? Pele, probably, right?
Yeah.
Or Ronaldo or Messi. When I say basketball, you think of Jordan. When I say wrestling, who do you think of? And I think it's Hogan.
When you say wrestling, I think Austin. But that's when I grew up.
But Austin, it's Austin or Hogan.
Yeah.
Or Rock. It's one of those three. I don't think Cena right away. But again, the meme, you know? That meme that's gone around, the Total Divas fame. I think that stuff matters for something.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. If we had another person on this podcast that is 15, so half your age, about 8 years younger than me,
mm-hmm.
they'd say Cena because they grew up with Cena.
Yeah.
And then I think the biggest thing right now with wrestling fans is there is no hard stat to look at. There is, because the championships, say what you will, but they're not...
Championship!
They're not a massive gauge on who's the greatest of all time. Because then mm-hmm. Jerry Lawler's name would be in there. Because he has the most reigns overall of all the championships.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never brought up in these conversations. So the number of championships don't matter. I think the biggest thing when you look at this is who entertained you, who was a big box office draw, because that's important. Who drew the most money for your company?
Yeah.
It matters.
It does.
And who... I like, for me personally, I kind of look at how many people did you screw over to get to the top? Because as we've learned in House of Cards Season 4, there's some people that you just really screw over to get to the top at times. And it seems to be everywhere there's a certain amount of politicking that you have to do to get to the top.
True.
How much of that, how many of these guys did that, and how much did it impact others' careers? I don't know how much John seriously politics and holds the good guys.
We've heard things.
Yeah, we've heard things, but like I always go back to that Macho Man quote. Cream always rises to the top. I mean, Sean and Hunter held down The Rock.
Did they?
Yeah, they did not like him. They didn't want him when he first came in. They didn't like him, and that's why The Rock didn't want to do business with them for a long time. It was mostly Sean, because Sean.
Yeah, it's always mostly Sean.
Yeah. At that point in time.
Yeah.
As time changes, we learn someone else is a little bit more of has a little more tendency for the shovel.
Yeah.
But Sean did not like Rock at all. Brett liked Rock. Brett had stated in his book, he had said that this was the next guy for the company.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the next guys that was going to carry the company. And Sean didn't want him any sort of success.
Well, that was when Sean was just being the dick, right?
Yeah. And that's the other thing. And that's the one thing you got to look at. And whether you're going over your top, whether you look at a John, whether you look at a Sean, you got to kind of remove the politicking, the backstage crap, the Mickey James rumors, the racism from a sex tape. Sometimes you got to put those to the side and go, what did they do for a product? What did the character bring? You got to separate Terry Bollea from Hulk Hogan.
What do you mean, brother?
You got to separate the Lanny Poffo from Randy Macho Man Savage. You've got to separate the John Cena from John Cena. They're two mm-hmm. different people. Same name, but they're two different people. Are they, though?
It's hard to say.
You know, that when you told me that Vince had said he was the Babe Ruth, I wasn't surprised at all. Just because I think Vince really believes that. But I also think Vince changes his mind on who the Babe Ruth is every couple of years.
Of course he does.
Just like he changes the booking for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So, I think this is a longer podcast for another day, which is great because it's another podcast that we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to get to one thing because I want to get this podcast will be out on Friday. But we've got to talk about something. You know that thing that happens on the road where you hit something? We call it roadblock?
Yeah,
there's some matches that are worth talking about and kind of predicting and deciding. Because I thought we were on the road to WrestleMania, but...
Apparently not!
No. So, I've got the card right here. So, let's go through this and give it a review and give it our thoughts. And then... go from there. So the first match is the New Day versus the League of Nations.
New Day!
Yeah, the New Day. They've had a really nice long run with the championships.
They have.
Which I'm glad, because that means when they do lose, it means that championship... I always like these long runs. I always find it helps champion, because it establishes the New Day as good champions. They didn't really have to cheat to beat Jericho and AJ.
No.
So they got a nice clean victory over them.
I think there's a reason for that. I think they're slowly turning them face.
Yeah. Which, you know, because they're feuding with the League of Nations, Sheamus and Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
Who's gonna get booed, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
So yeah, I think the New Day retains, but I think we get from what I heard, we're not gonna get that TLC match. We've been fantasy booking since the Dudleys returned.
Where have the Dudleys been?
Saving tables.
Where?
They've been putting the Usos through those tables. I think that's a program that they're building up a bit more.
Interesting.
So the next match is... and this match changes a lot, so put an asterisk next to this, but we'll see how it goes. But we've got Bray Wyatt with the Wyatt family in his corner taking on Paul Heyman, and he advocates some guy. He's never done
Lesnar.
I think we both know who Heyman wins this.
Yeah, Bray.
Yeah,
it's time
totally.
To do it, man. It's time to do it. By the way, how much longer do you think these guys have in WWE?
We'll get through roadblock and then let's hit on the Wyatts a bit
I don't know where to go with these guys.
Yeah, but I think in all seriousness, it's Brock Lesnar that's going to go over.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's not even a question. You know, it sucks. This was supposed to be the WrestleMania match. I know both guys wanted it more, but it is what it is. We're getting the match. Not exactly at the moment we thought.
No, not at all.
We get to see Brock Lesnar. It's always good to see him. And mm-hmm. how much money he's making.
He is making a lot.
So now, the next match is what I would call a farewell match. It is the final match for Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy with Carmella taking on the champions, the Revival, Scott Dawson, and Dash Wilder for the NXT Tag Team Champions.
Right.
I could be wrong, and Enzo and Cass could win and then run around NXT for another 6 months, and they could call up the Revival.
Yeah, but the other thing is that we know NXT results, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. In the words of Jalen Rose... not going to be able to do it!
So, the Revival's going to win. This is the last NXT-type match. It's a nice little send-off. It's on a bigger scale for them. Gets them introduced to the main crowd a little bit more, and let them have a run on the main roster. I enjoy Enzo Amore.
So, me too.
I'm excited for them because they're getting their chance. And I think they deserve a chance.
I do too.
And according to my list, the final match and the most controversial match on this card, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion will be defended as Dean Ambrose takes on Triple H.
Yeah.
So, we can go two ways with this. I think both of us, at least for me, I'm going to pick Hunter. Because from all indication, they want to stick their guns. But Vince has a very large set of grapefruits on him.
Does he ever?
And he would have the balls to have Hunter drop the title here. Especially with this little family feud going on backstage. There's a small part of me that thinks Vince might do it to him.
Yeah. I don't know what they do, man. I don't know.
Because it screws up WrestleMania. Suddenly you've got one match instead of two, which might not be a bad thing.
And I mean, it's not the end of the world, no.
No. And you can probably, with the four guys there, you could probably justify it being the main event. Especially, I think the biggest thing for Vince right now is Brock's contract and how big it is.
Right.
It's hard to have him be a middle card guy.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I think they stick their guns and Hunter retains and Dean takes the 1-2-3 clean.
I just don't know in this one. This one's hard. They've made you think about it, which they really shouldn't, because like you said, this should really not be a question. It should be like, why are you overthinking this? The winner is blank.
I think the biggest thing right now, and this is a testament to the dissatisfaction with Roman Reigns and that panic that creates. If this was roles reversed, if Dean was the guy going to WrestleMania and Roman wasn't, there'd be no question. It'd be like, yeah, no, Hunter's... Well, there'd be the thought of maybe Roman winning and then turning heel. But we kind of sit there and we kind of go, Roman's kind of... We would kind of assume he's going to lose. In this case, I think if Roman was over, there'd be no question. And it would be, yep, nope, done, finished, easy, simple. It's not.
It's very hard to think who will. I think, you know, like you said, I think if they're like, you know what, we know that we can't give the belt to Roman, and let's make these pay-per-views, these Saturday shows, whatever we're going to call them, let's make them something that people are going to buzz about. Because I think a lot of people are like, well, just because Brock Lesnar's on it, I'm going to watch it. And just because there's a title match, I'm going to watch it. But what if they do something where they just do the Chris Jericho thing you talked about, where they throw the title on him for one night, there's a big controversy, but he has the title, and I don't know. I don't like to flip-flop the title, but I think they need to electrify something to put some energy into coming up for WrestleMania. I mean, we know little things are happening. Like, you've heard the Mick Foley rumor, I'm sure, too, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Mick Foley apparently has a big program.
What?
Yeah, I don't... It's probably Hell in a Cell. But Mick Foley's going to be on TV for the next 3 weeks.
Bang Bang?
Yeah. So I don't know what that is for. I mean, we've heard Noelle talk about something big is coming. We kind of ignore Noelle Foley.
Just a little. So is he going to put on the Mankind mask and let
Taker come off the cage? I don't think he's wrestling. Like, I don't think he's wrestling, right?
Yeah, no. They would never. If they're not going to clear Daniel Bryan, there's no way they clear Mick Foley.
No. So I don't know what the deal is with Mick now.
That would be my guess, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. But there's something happening. Maybe he's the ref. Because we've heard special guest ref. But I just don't know why Vince would make him the ref, right? You would think maybe Sean would be more likely to be the ref.
Why not make it you know who's going to get involved in this and who we haven't seen. So we, just before we carry on with this, we're in agreement on the final roadblock
match. Yeah, Hunter wins, Bray wins. I nothing excited happens in this just because I'd love Enzo and Cass to win. And, like, you know, you and I have talked to a lot of people that are getting back in the product, and Enzo and Cass are one of the shining lights for them. People wanted them at the last pay-per-view. But, you know, it just doesn't. And can we stop getting these? You know, the road to WrestleMania was cliche enough, but can we stop getting these car-themed pay-per-views? Fastlane, Roadblock. Is the next one going to be Check Stop? Like, is the next one going to be Odometer? Like, the next one's going to be, like, Running on Empty? Like, can we stop these car puns? Please?
You know, the one thing that, going back and watching some of the old wrestling, it's another side tangent, but I always like the In Your House.
Uh-huh.
Nice and simple.
Easy. They actually gave away that house at one point, too.
Did they?
Yeah. There was a draw. If you watch some of them, it's like, they actually had for a long time, too, it was just like, the house that was showing, they would give away. It was a running theme for the longest time.
Oh, wow.
It was like McMahon's Millions, but no one knew how to troll Vince White by calling him. That still doesn't seem like that was a real thing, McMahon Millions.
I don't think Vince would hand out his money like that.
No. No. It was a little crazy.
But he's crazy, so...
So are you excited for Roadblock?
Even when you say it now, I just see a big, big Roadblock sign in the ring going, oh... Just go around it.
Is this something you're going to watch live?
I will watch it. No, actually I won't because I'll be at work. So,
If you had the option, though, would you have watched it live?
Yeah, I probably would have thrown it on. I think I'd probably be like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah. This WrestleMania, I actually, you know, I've heard a lot of people whining and complaining, like, oh, WrestleMania's going to be... This undercard is fantastic. We have a great undercard. You know, this time last year, all everyone said is like, oh, I wish Sasha or Charlotte were wrestling. I wish Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn was wrestling. Well, guess what? They are. They're wrestling on WrestleMania. These NXT stars you wanted are main matches at WrestleMania. Sin Cara's probably going to have this David vs. Goliath match with Ryback that I'm for some reason intrigued by.
Oh, the Kalisto Ryback?
Yeah, and for some reason, I said Sin Cara, whatever, sorry. But are you not somewhat kind of interested in it?
You know, I watched the Table for Three recently again with him, Daniel Bryan, and Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I see it, the more I go, yeah, I want Kalisto. Kalisto could probably get a decent match out of Ryback.
Ryback's a huge troll, by the way. Did you see what he did in Chicago?
No, I didn't. What did he do?
So he did the running knees.
How'd the crowd respond to that?
Booed the crap out of him. Guess what he did afterwards?
He did the go to sleep chant.
Yeah, he did.
And what the crowd... Please tell
me. Booed the crap out of him.
Did he get a CM Punk chant?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Because, you know, if there's any...
There wasn't enough of those on Monday.
At one point, I heard they had to turn off the crowd mics.
Yeah. They just got to know every time they come into Chicago. By the way, remember for the longest time they would troll fans by putting the Brett music on?
Yeah.
Don't you just kind of want one troll of the CM Punk music just to hear it one more time? Oh. Like in a live kind of broadcast, just to be like... Because I remember there was a show in Calgary, and it's when they had the celebrity GMs. Yeah. And Calgary couldn't get a celebrity, so we had Sergeant Slaughter. But they faked bringing Brett out, and we knew Brett wasn't coming out. But was like, for the brief second, you're like, oh, what if he does? And I would like to have that with one, like, I wish they kind of would have done that with Punk. Can you imagine, instead of doing the Gone, if they had the Static hit there? Just the screw with the Chicago crowd?
The only fear you have is...
The crowd would have returned, 100%.
That's the only thing. Like, you'd have to do it towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
And you know when you do it, you have that static hit, and then you have Roman come out.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. You want heel heat. I mean, that's how Hunter could get heel heat in Chicago if he was going to face Roman. That pretend the Punk's coming out.
And have Hunter come out and do his usual schnick. Yeah, mm-hmm. That would be pretty good heel heat.
It's not the worst.
All the more I think, yeah, they always did. They did it to us, so Chicago can suffer a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
Until the one day when his music hits and he walks out.
All right, what do we got left?
Bray Wyatt.
What's the latest?
My thinking. So, he got a bit of a cheer when he stared at Hunter. Did he not?
Yeah, that was a cool moment actually. But hey, Joel.
Yeah.
What did WWE do again in that segment?
They
stole from NXT again. They stole from the Bayley and Asuka segment when Asuka petted the title.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, they did it again with the NXT guy in the ring. They've stolen two back-to-back weeks now from NXT now.
Well, you copying is the greatest form of flattery?
I suppose, sure. If you want to go that way?
Sure.
Sure.
My thinking is, you know, probably the booking of the 50-50 booking of Bray hasn't helped anything at all. But you gotta think after a certain point, this guy would just be up to rise. Maybe this is his time to rise above it. Maybe we'll see, but it's just...
What is what's the WrestleMania match? And again, the roadblock thing is really... I mean, it's been a roadblock to WrestleMania for me. It has hurt the WrestleMania build. I think that, you know, they got three strong weeks now, and maybe that was good. Maybe it lets them be more focused, do you think?
They have to be. They have to be laser-focused.
Mm-hmm. You can't mess up one show now.
No.
Especially if you're thinking about doing Raw vs. SmackDown pretty soon here. Like, you better get your shit together.
Yeah, or SmackDown's going to eat you alive.
So, yeah. What else is left?
Any news or rumors that you've heard yourself floating around there?
The Foley one.
We've hit on that. And...
Austin somehow in this. I don't know what Austin's doing, but Austin is 100% involved. I've heard special guest referee in the Shane and Taker match. Special guest referee in Triple H and Roman. I've heard outside enforcer in the Hell in the Cell. I've heard everything.
Austin's going to be involved one way. He's going to drink beer, so you know that's going to come.
Yeah, he's doing that probably right now.
Yeah. So WWE announcer signs to host an MMA show on AXS TV.
Hmm?
Yeah, Mauro Ranallo has signed on to do a show with AXS TV, an MMA show.
Oh, good. That's cool. They're letting him just do his own thing.
I hope. I saw that and I was like, please just say you're still with WWE. Please still say you're with WWE.
I think he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, because I think the love of him is a little bit higher, so... you know, I will say this, the NXT show tonight was really good.
Yeah, I saw half, but I didn't get to see the whole thing yet.
Really enjoyed it. You know, Sammy and Joe were... The fact that they were able to work basically a whole hour, very impressive. Tip my hat to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Davey Richards will never sign with WWE, so...
Cool, have fun.
Yeah, he says that because he only wrestles part-time.
Because
he has another job and another life. And he doesn't want... His biggest thing is, I don't want to just suddenly move all the way down to Florida, give up everything I've worked for so far, and just give up everything I have outside of wrestling. So, that's his reason. So, those rumors can never start up again.
Yep, I agree.
Nothing new on the TNA getting sold or TNA being for sale even.
I haven't heard anything on that side, no.
It's been very quiet.
Yeah.
Here's the last big news I think we can hit on, and I think it's a good way to close it out. WrestleMania 33. Where is it, Josh, and how do you feel?
Not where we want it to be. Not in Canada, again. It's in Orlando.
I think it's been 10 years since the last time it was in Orlando, so
cool.
Cool.
Look, I'm gonna be totally unbiased about, not unbiased. I'm gonna be totally biased about this. I wanted it in Canada. I thought it was Canada's turn. Toronto hadn't had it for a long time. Vancouver would be a great spot for it. Edmonton's getting a great new stadium. I wish you could say Calgary deserves it. We have no stadiums that would be viable for it. Totally get it, plus with the weather. Montreal as well. I think it's another great city you could go to for WrestleMania. And don't get me started on my UK thing. I just think it's time to get it outside of the States. Stop going to the same damn arenas all the time.
They seem to have their certain points that they like to hit. I totally agree with you. But here's the thing. I think that Orlando's not bad because they've seen what NXT can do.
Totally, but it is what it is.
I'd love something a little different.
Well, you know, with it being in Florida, you know who's going to the Hall of Fame then.
Oh, it's Rocky.
Yeah.
And it's time. It's rightfully so. That
especially, Joel, if the Great One turns on his quote-unquote cousin.
Ooh.
One more match against his cousin. And he goes in the Hall of Fame that year. Bada bing, bada boom. Baywatch comes out during the summer. Can promo that.
Well, then, whatchamacallit? You can just have Roman Superman punch him.
Yeah, I dread. We're going to go to Dawn of Justice, and we're just going to be like, what is he going to find in here? What is he going to find in this movie that he's going to use at WrestleMania against Hunter? All I've been thinking about is, what is he going to find in Dawn of Justice that he's going to use against Hunter?
You know what? He's going to have a cape, Josh.
He's going to have something.
I think hit on everything important wrestling-wise.
Yeah, it was. It's an up-and-down week. You know, it was a fun Raw. Shane McMahon, Jordan 2s this week, just for the sneakerheads out there. Or the Jordan 2s. And it seems like and Jordan sent him a whole bunch of sneakers as well, so did Nike. I can't confirm or deny if he's Team Jordan right now, like if he's part of their team or not. But they're definitely very happy, the Jordan people, that he wore the Jordan kicks on WWE program, especially the hip-hop community has a giant pulse in WWE. So keep an eye on that. See what Shane does with Jordan. You know, he's wore Jordans in the past, but I think when he wore those Jordan 1s, it was a big explosion for the hip-hop community and for the sneaker community that really noticed that.
Hey, maybe he has Michael Jordan in his corner at WrestleMania.
No, he doesn't, because he's been confirmed that he won't be there.
Michael Jordan.
Oh, the actual Michael Jordan. I thought you were talking about Cena.
No.
I don't think so. I think he'll be busy. His team may be in the play, getting ready for a playoff push around then.
Ooh, good for them.
So, yeah.
Probably a little more important.
Probably.
Whew, that was good.
Yeah. So, any rumors on your side?
Nothing really. I think the biggest thing was the Orlando thing breaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We forgot to talk about something. It's very small. Lana.
Carpet muncher.
Oh, God. And the fact that Vince is the only one that caught it and freaked was... I could just imagine him...
Aren't you a little impressed that Vince knows what that is?
I'm not surprised at all in the least.
True.
It's Vincent Kennedy McMahon. It seems when it comes to sex and women, the guy knows things that he probably shouldn't. So
probably not. So week two of Lana and Brie. She hit the X Factor, or as is known in the carpet, what's it called?
Carpet eater.
The carpet eater, which, you know, if it was done on a male, I think it's not as bad. But that saying has a certain deeper meaning with a female. And I'm sure Daniel Bryan doesn't want to hear his wife being called a carpet eater.
Yeah, and I just think it's something...
And vice versa for Rusev. By the way, nothing in the Body Slam Challenge this week at all?
Nope.
We got to drop fast.
The back of Lana, I just think that whole thing is, you could call it X-Factor. It's already established, just mm-hmm. go with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even know it was Brie's finisher.
I didn't know either, so...
Like you and I said, it's kind of default finisher number five for the Divas. No. Melina's used it, Summer Rae's used it, Maurice's used it, I believe.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like... But the other side is you don't know what Lana's skill set in the ring, so doing that move seems to be probably the safest thing for her, so...
Probably. She looked fine doing it. I'm not, no complaints there. I've heard that there may be a multi-woman's match instead of a one-on-one match because I don't know what the hell Paige did to piss people off, but she did something.
She went from being one of the key women to last year's WrestleMania to being on main event.
Yeah. Losing to Summer Rae. I don't know what... Have you heard anything about Paige did?
No, I haven't heard anything.
At first, we thought it was a concussion, right?
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, well, she's off. But now that she's like, Natty, a main event is nothing new. It sucks, but we're used to it, right?
Yeah.
But Paige is just like, I don't know what Paige did. She broke up with her boyfriend on Total Divas this week.
Okay.
She got her own place. Brie got a scooter.
Ooh.
Nikki didn't want her to get a scooter. Brian was cool with her getting the scooter.
I love your Total Diva update.
Rosa's husband, to be, was worried about the food that she was eating with the baby, so he put like a nanny cam in the kitchen to make sure she was eating healthy. Rosa didn't like this. And her and Mandy had a whole bunch of crappy food, and she kind of gloated about it to the husband. The husband's like, I've been busy all day. I hadn't even got to see it. So, moral of the story is there is none. And last week's Total Divas was the lowest rated Total Divas of all time. And this week's wasn't much better. So we may be seeing the end of Total Divas pretty soon here.
Yeah, I think with the Bellas kind of on their way out, I think Total Divas has done its job.
Mm-hmm.
And now it can go off.
Unless, you know, there's a few big things they can still hotshot. You know, they still got that big one, Joel. They got that Cena and Nikki wedding.
Could you imagine Vince going to Cena?
I mean, you know it's ratings, though. I'm just, you know it's ratings.
There would be like a red carpet. Vince would be the officiating.
Oh, God. It would be very interesting.
You'd have to have Hogan there to give him.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
You would have. Well, you'd have Brian there.
I would hope so. It's technically his brother-in-law.
Yeah. Vince would have to be there.
I'm sure he would be in some capacity.
Yeah, that would definitely... That would draw me into Total Divas.
Yeah, so there's your Total Divas report. I didn't watch Edge and Christian. I just... It's blah.
They gave the Boogeyman the award for best... Worst character gimmick?
There's worse, but you're not going to get the Goon or others that come on, or like Santa Claus that come on.
Yeah, no kidding. What was I going to say? There is one big Total Divas moment still out there, and it's Brian's retirement.
Yeah. This would be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think that.
I don't know if it's as big as Brie in a scooter, though, Joel. That was pretty big. She got a scooter and rode him around with Renee Young.
I think Renee Young
already had a scooter.
I think the John Cena wedding wouldn't be the level, but it'd almost be like a Kardashian wedding.
That's the point. It's just like, what did they book what was the highest rating thing for the Kardashians? It was her and Humphrey's wedding. Same with the Khloe one. It was her and Lamar Odom's wedding. Same with Total Divas. I think the highest one was Brie and Danielson's wedding.
Yeah.
So.
Time for the Doctor of Thugonomics to settle down.
I guess so. All right. Well, thanks everyone for watching, listening, whatever you watch this for. Make sure you follow everything that Joel does at StickBoyYYC, right?
Yep.
And make sure you follow us at Fresh Take 42. And make sure if you're in the mood for March Madness, head down to Booker's, and follow them at Booker's Barbecue on Twitter. And until next time, cheers!
All I can think about is John Cena's wedding. It would be multiple colors, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes. So many colors. Enjoy the day, people.